Whenever business people visit our town from further afield, I always love to have a chat to them to get their impressions about the Cairns economy in particular. I think it's just fantastic perspective for us. We kind of live it, we're in it moment to moment. But when people who have a national view, a national perspective come into our city, I think it's very instructive to hear what they have to say. What are their impressions? What are they hearing when they're out and about during their visit? One such person we're very lucky to share some time with now is Ian Robertson. Now, Ian is the National Managing Partner of Holding Redlich, a big national law firm. They've got a fairly big presence here in Cairns and right across the nation. Now, Ian, why are you here? First of all, you've got offices pretty much all over Australia, so it's great to have you in Cairns. Tell us about the reason for your visit.
Well, it's always great to be here, Gavin, and to catch up with our local team who are doing pretty well. But my particular reason for being here this week is largely actually about Indigenous issues. We're very proud to be a sponsor of CAIAF, and I visited that fabulous exhibition yesterday, and I presented an award last night at the opening. I can just say, and I know you've got a connection with CAIAF, how terrific it is. I think they called it the Big House, I think otherwise known as the Convention Centre.
Yes.
It's just a great venue, and it's really professional and looking great. But I think even though it's now a lot larger and somewhat slicker, it's still authentic, and I think that's really important. So that was one reason. Second reason, also about Indigenous culture, is that we've renamed our meeting rooms in our Cairns office using local Indigenous names for sea life. Mm. And we had a smoking ceremony last night with the local Indigenous community, basically gave us permission to use the names, and that was actually quite moving. It was terrific. Our firm is a big believer in reconciliation. I think my private view is that as a country, Australia has a terrific multicultural society. We've really got the least racism, I think, of almost anywhere. But the one bit we haven't got right is our own First Peoples. And I think reconciliation makes huge sense in the interests of all Australians. So to rename our rooms as part of our overall approach to a reconciliation action plan. Our firm is one of 19 law firms that supports an Indigenous voice to Parliament, which is something Aboriginal communities across Australia have agreed on. And we hope to see that happen in due course.
Your view then on the process and I guess the timeline for a referendum, I think the new Indigenous Affairs Minister Linda Burney has not poured cold water on it, but she's just expressing some caution in the last 24 hours about that process and the time it may take. What's your view on that?
Look, I think she's right. I think it's well known that it's very difficult to pass referendums in this country. You've got to get a majority of the people and a majority of states. And if there's any strong opposition, history shows referendums fail. It would be very embarrassing for Australia, I think, to put this up as a constitutional amendment and have it defeated.
That's a good point.
I think that would be internationally difficult for Australia. And the fear I have is that certain elements of right-wing politics will misconstrue what it's all about and then argue against it. So I think to get as much consensus as possible over a period of time is very smart.
Be interesting to see whether the new coalition leader, Peter Dutton, will... There's been some questions put to him and some of his opposition front bench that will they come out in opposition? Because as you said, that is almost the death knell for these referendums. So it'd be interesting to see where the Libs and the Nats fall in terms of... If they're not going to openly support it, let's hope at least that they don't voice strong opposition to it.
Yes, and if they don't, will other... perhaps more extreme political groupings oppose. There was an argument I read a while back saying this is actually putting a body above the Australian Parliament and that's unacceptable. It's also not true.
It's not true.
But it's a clever argument if you want to defeat something. I think the best way to defeat something is first define what it isn't and then say why that's unacceptable.
And use social media to spread that misinformation,
indeed.
No doubt.
Indeed.
All right, so yes, right, okay, so a big agenda in terms of Indigenous reconciliation there for you and the team at Holding Redlich, what about in terms of the economy here in Cairns? As I mentioned there in that intro, and you've no doubt met with a whole bunch of clients over the last couple of days in town. What's your sense? And you visit Cairns sort of semi-regularly when the borders are open to Queensland. What's your sense of how we're travelling?
My sense is that things are going pretty well. I think they've turned around effectively. I had lunch with a number of our clients yesterday and the mood in the group was pretty strong. Mm. Most are connected one way or another with the property industry. Mm. And I was with a developer who said he's really got a full book of work ahead. They're good signs, I think. Mm. Clearly, tourism is back. Mm. And the town is busy. Big cruise ship yesterday, I think, for the first time for a while. Mm. The airport's getting busier. International flights have resumed. I'm sure everything I just said is well known by everyone here. Mm. But you put all that together, I think there are grounds for optimism about what's ahead. I think also, perhaps in the bigger picture, it's clear that governments are going to continue to invest in the far north. Mm. And obviously the Defence Department has a huge program here, including the naval base. Mm. That will be significant. Perhaps slightly ironic that I think we seem to be spending a whole lot of money to defend ourselves against our major trading partner.
Yes.
But I guess that's global politics.
Be interesting to see how whether that softens, though, with the new Albanese government.
Well, as you will have seen, there are signs that there may be a meeting between the foreign ministers of the two countries in the next few days. My own opinion is that our firm has had a bit to do with acting for inbound Chinese clients, investing in Australia, mainly around agribusiness, but not only. Mm. And I've visited China on quite a number of occasions. Mm. As you and I once discussed previously, I was Bob Hawke's lawyer for a very long period, and I went to China on a few occasions with Bob. Mm. I think Australia needs the best relationships it can have with every country. Mm. The difficulty with the Chinese is they've become very belligerent. Mm. And that's obviously very difficult to manage. But hopefully the relationship can be improved in the interests of both countries.
Mm. Interesting to hear Penny Wong in the last 24 hours or so really having a go at China, saying that they need to do more on Russia. So it'll be interesting to see how that lands, in China at a time when we're hoping that that relationship can be repaired somewhat. How do you mention there, Hawkey? And last time we chat, which I think was quite some time ago now, time is a little bit fluid, as we know, with COVID. But I got a lot of great feedback, Ian, about a couple of anecdotes that you gave about Bob Hawke. You were his lawyer for a whole, you know, a whole range of years. You were very, very close to him. I mean, if it's at all possible, I mean, how would a leader like Bob Hawke have handled something like particularly this China relationship, because it is so important to us? I mean, would he have done anything differently? Would he have stood up to China the way that Morrison sort of claimed to do? I mean, I know it's a little bit hypothetical, but just fascinating to get your thoughts on what would Hawkey have done?
Well, as you say, it's hypothetical. I think Bob had the rather immodest view that since him there hadn't really been any great leaders.
Yes.
So I think you could say with certainty Bob would have a view that he could have done it better.
Yes.
I think more seriously, I think he would have been very reticent to engage in strident public criticism of China. Mm. I think he would have taken the view that all that is going to do is harm Australia. And the one thing Bob never wanted to do was harm Australia. Mm. And his point with the Chinese, and I was present in one meeting in China with a quite senior official who berated Bob over the fact that Chinese companies employing or sending Chinese people to work in Australia had to abide by Australian award wages and award conditions.
Right.
And they were very unhappy about that because it was costing a lot of money.
Yes.
And Bob basically said, well, first, you don't understand my background with the trade unions.
Yes, you misread that one, yes.
And secondly, what matters to me is the Australian national interest. And of course, we're not going to have foreign workers undercut Australian workers. Mm. So Bob always had the Australian national interest at the forefront. Mm. And that, I believe, is the approach he would have taken. Mm. I think, though, privately, he would have been quite strong. Mm. And I've heard him be quite strong. But he does it when there's no media there, and that's the big difference.
That's a massive difference. That's it. And you avoid that almost loss of face, don't you, that I'm sure has been caused with some of that running public commentary, as you said, from certainly from the previous Morrison government. Well, Ian...
Just on that, I mean, I think Australia's got to remember it's a middle power. And on a recent trip, like everything, before COVID... I was with some fairly significant businessmen, all of whom had significant investments in Australia and knew quite a lot about Australia. And they said, we get Trump. Now, Trump's the President of the United States. They're a huge country. He can do what he likes. What we don't get is Australia. What are you guys doing?
What are you doing?
And that was a very interesting comment.
We're a middle power. Very, very interesting indeed, and I'm sure there's so much more we could chat to you about, but alas, we only have limited time on the King Review. Ian Robertson, absolute pleasure to have you on. Thanks for your time on the show today.
It's been terrific, Gavin. Thank you.